We're going to go to Matthew. We're going to look at chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, and it's about the, as you could probably imagine, the story of the birth of Jesus. We'll read through that and then just dive in a little bit and see what God has for us this morning. So again, this is Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. It reads this way. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. We won't dive super far into this morning, but his actual name was Yeshua, which we would translate as Joshua, and we don't need to dive into all the complexities of that, but Yeshua literally means God saves us. I think that's rich and appropriate this morning. You know, traditionally, we read about the birth of Jesus from the book of Luke. That's probably the most common that you hear around Christmas time, but I think there's a lot to learn from the other Gospels as well about this story even in particular. The Gospels being Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are the first four books of the New Testament, and they recap all the personal experiences from those who walked with Jesus. Mark doesn't recount the birth of Jesus, but rather starts with talking about John the Baptist. John doesn't really recount the birth of Jesus at all, but takes a much more philosophical approach to who Jesus is and his purpose and his intention. Matthew does give an account, but he focuses on a few different things than Luke. See, Luke tends to focus on Mary, Jesus' mother, and Matthew focuses on Joseph, Jesus' father. And there's a lot to unpack from this scripture this morning, but we're going to try to keep our focus on Jesus, what he has done for us and what he expects from us. See, Joseph had been put in what you could call a pretty crappy situation. He was with this young woman that he was promised to, and you know, we're not going to go all the way into the full complexities of this situation and Hebrew marriage and try to understand all of that, but simply to understand it, draw parallels to our culture. Joseph and Mary were not married yet, but they were much more than engaged. It's almost like a different level or a different connection in Hebrew marriage at this point in time. To say the least, they were definitely exclusive to one another. So for Mary to all of a sudden be pregnant, Joseph knowing that it wasn't possible for it to be his child, this puts Joseph in quite the dilemma. He was kind of backed into a corner, really. But this passage shows us Joseph's true colors as a man. He didn't make it a big deal. He kept things quiet, and he planned to divorce her. According to the law, he would have been in the right to do so. But what happens next is just incredible. An angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream, much like an angel of the Lord appeared to Mary, telling her about the situation in the beginning. And we read the scripture already, so you can go back and read it. I'm going to take some liberty here, but the angel basically tells Joseph, like, chill out. Like, suck it up. This is okay, right? Mary's preggers with the Son of God. Like, it's okay. See, God loved Joseph, and the same way that God chose Mary, I believe that he chose Joseph. If you go back and look at the beginning of Matthew, the verses that we moved past to get to verse 18. Basically, as it says in verse number 1, this is a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And it starts with Abraham, and it goes all the way to Joseph and to Jesus. And if you look at that, right, you see, so in this list of begats, right, there's 14 generations from Abraham to David, and 14 generations from David to the exile to Babylon, and then 14 more generations from the exile of Babylon to Jesus, or the Messiah. And this has been prophesied, and we know this is going to happen, okay? So, but in that time of 14 generations from Abraham to David, and then 14 more from David to the exile, and the 13 generations that from that point to where Joseph was born, how many Hebrew men had been born that could have been used to fulfill the prophecy and the plan of God? Now, we don't know that answer, but if you're thinking the answer is 14 plus 14 plus 13, well, that would be incorrect. See, it would include any men born in those generations, right? It would include, let's just think about Joseph, right? Would that be, did Joseph have 5 brothers or 6 brothers or 7, 8, 9, 15, 20 brothers? And there's 51 generations in all there of men that would have been born. Even if you still wanted Jesus to be born just in the line of David, like the prophecy says, it still only takes out 14 of the 51 generations, right? And so again, that's multiplied by how many ever men were born in each generation. So we don't know the exact number, right? But the answer to the question of how many other men in this lineage other than Joseph it could have been is definitely too many to count. You see, God does things on purpose, and I believe that God chose Joseph specifically to be the father of Jesus. And I think there's 3 main things that we need to pay attention to here. The first, and this is what the angel says to Joseph, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Verses 20, it says, 20 and 21, it says, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. We talk about, the Advent themes, right? Hope, peace, joy. What an example of love this is. Do not be afraid, because he will save people from their sins. That's a big deal. What fears and anxieties keep us from living out what God is asking us to do sometimes? How can I be a part of helping others live out their call without fear getting in the way? I can encourage you this morning, it would be by telling you, do not be afraid, because Jesus has saved you from your sins and has provided a way for that for all others. The second thing I think we need to pay attention to from this passage is that God is with us. Verses 22 and 23, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Here the angel quotes Isaiah 7:14 to Joseph, who would have known it very well. And I believe he did that because Joseph knew it, and because Joseph would have known it well. And this is a way of helping comfort Joseph. And again, talk about hope and peace and joy and love. Talk about comfort. God is with us. Jesus has come, right? He is here. If that doesn't get you excited this morning, if that doesn't bring you comfort this morning, I don't think there's anything that I could offer you that would. Are we paying attention and being aware of God's presence in our life on a daily basis? Are we being intentional to do what we can to make God present in others' lives or help them see that and be attentive to that as well? See, this story provides a hope, a peace, and a joy because of God's love that he has shown us through sending his son to save us. That should comfort us, and we should be sharing it to comfort others as well. The third thing I think we need to see here from this passage is taking a lesson from Joseph's action and hearing the message from the Lord. And this may be the most important piece that's up to us out of what we can get from this passage this morning. See, it said that he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. Verse 24 and 25. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to their son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now, this is significant for lots of reasons. See, Joseph listened. That's important. Joseph obeyed. Also very important. And something that we might overlook, because it's not as important in our culture, but Joseph named the baby, just like he had been instructed to do by the angel. See, if Joseph would not have named this baby, Jesus would not be a descendant of Abraham or from the house of David. If Joseph would not have named this baby, it would not have been his. If Joseph would not have named this baby and divorced Mary as he previously wanted to do or had set out to do, Jesus would not have fulfilled the prophecy. And the Abrahamic covenant would cease to exist, really, in part. And our relationship with God today would not be the same because Jesus' sacrifice would be incomplete. It would have proved God to be a liar. But Joseph did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. I think it's important for us to try to discern God's instruction and plan for our life. It's important to pay attention to and be attentive to how we can follow him more closely, how we can listen better, how we can obey in the right way. See, this morning it's crucially important for us to see that God sent his only son to earth to save us because he loves us. Jesus Christ was born, and he lived a perfect and fruitful life, and he died in our place as a sacrifice that atones for our sin. Then he rose from the dead and defeated death and sin for the sake of every person. Every person that has ever existed, every person that exists right now, and every person that ever will exist. And now calls us out to believe in him, and because of that, we can be saved. All of this because God loves us. God loves you. We live in a time where the lottery is the hope of many people, and it's mind-blowing to me and incredibly frustrating to go into the gas station and somebody buys not one, not two, but 37 lottery tickets, and then they take time to scratch them all off and then buy 46 more. But being a little playful, but that, you've been there probably. You've experienced that. To think that the amount of money that's being spent to be able to pay out the purse, right? It's pretty incredible. Well, hear me say this morning, okay? I'm not being judgmental of you. I have no idea what your thoughts are on the lottery, but it's foolish, okay? It's foolish. However, this Christmas scandal that we're talking about, Jesus coming to earth as a baby, growing up to sacrifice himself for you to save you from your sin and all the otherwise impending eternal doom is really like walking around with a winning Mega Ball ticket in your pocket, knowing about it, knowing it's a winner, and never cashing it in. See, Jesus has already done the work. He's already made you a winner. The work has already been accomplished for you to be saved. So make sure you pull out that ticket and use it. And make sure that you tell everybody else that they have a ticket that's in their pocket. I think about the guy, Chase, that sent the letter to the church asking for a Christian pen pal. That's an incredible opportunity for you, one of you, all of you, to reach out and disciple this man who is clearly looking in the right place for something that he needs, for someone to tell him that he does, or that he does have that winning ticket in his pocket, or what to do with it despite his circumstances. I hope that you take full advantage of following up with Chase. See, the scripture tells us, do not be afraid. It tells us that God is with us. And it's up to us to accept him and accept what he commands of us. I hope that you'll reach out and take his hand this morning. I hope that you'll trust him this morning, because he has done all of this because he loves you. Would you stand with me this morning? I would like to pray a benediction prayer from Zephaniah chapter 3. And then after that, we have another song to sing. Fear not, O Zion. Do not be discouraged. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty Savior. He will rejoice over you with gladness and renew you in his love. He will sing joyfully because of you, as one sings at festivals. God, we see that you celebrate us, that you love us, that you created us. And when we messed all of that up, you came to save us. And I'm so thankful for that this morning. Thank you for this day that we intentionally look to you and celebrate the birth of your Son, our Redeemer, our Savior, Emmanuel, God with us, come to earth in such an unexpected and real and normal way. God, as we move from this place today, I just pray that you would go with us, that as we play out the traditions and the ways that we celebrate within our family and our friends group and the culture around us, that we would continually pay attention to you, that we would not be afraid, that we would know and bank on the fact that you are with us, and that we would have the courage that it takes, despite our circumstances, to do as you command us to do, to listen and obey. And that not just by our actions and the life that we live, but also by our words and with intentionality, that you would show us, that you would teach us how to share that with others around. Because you came for all of us, because you love all of us. Help us to be your people, moving us closer from where we are right now to where you want us to be. God, we love you. We praise you. And we pray all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.